I want to look out over the audience, see how many visitors we had. I had to be in a meeting right before the service. I wasn't able to see. I'm not a normal speaker. I want to welcome our visitors and thank you for your concern over spiritual things and your time with us this evening. I've got an apology and a confession. The apology is I have a tie on. Lori and I had some words over that, but I don't have a shirt you can button anymore. She says it makes my head red. I squeeze it so tight. So I wasn't quite comfortable preaching without a tie on, but I wanted you to know that was my excuse anyway. My confession. Started to title the lesson Plagiarism, because this is straight out theft. I am taking this lesson. When we came here 7 or 8 years ago, I was impressed with Bob and Sandra Waldron and their books and their studies and his deliveries, and there was one story that one series of studies that I really appreciated it. And most of you will know very quickly this lesson and where it's going and everything about it, because it's just about straight out of his book. Not too far into this lesson, you're going to say, he doesn't even know this lesson. He was so impressed with it, he's not doing a very good job with it. Bob did a much better job than he's doing. But if you'll listen, and if I have any success at making the points that I'd like to make this evening, I encourage you to get that book and study through it. If I can get this thing to come on, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. I didn't come up with that. That's right out of his book. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll scan through that passage very quickly here. Paul talks to the church at Colossae. Just it was written to them, but all of these were for us. We could insert our names, we could put our faces in them, and each one of these letters could have been written to us. And Paul talks in the first chapter of Colossians about this preeminent Christ, Jesus, that came to this earth, that he had become a minister of. And he goes down and tells them in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel whom you have heard, and which was preached to you, every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And down 25 through 27, I'm going to paraphrase, he said, I was made a minister of a mystery which hath been hid throughout the ages. We live in such a wonderful time that everything that we have goes back for 7,000 years and points through to this time when Paul wrote this letter to us today, that we can look back and we can know the mind of God. Prophets of old didn't understand many of the things that they prophesied of and the stories that they told. To understand the fullness of this story, and folks, we've got it. We know exactly what God wanted us to know, or at least we've got access to it. This mystery that was hidden from the ages, he said, to whom God would make known is the riches of the glory of this mystery, in verse 27, among the Gentiles. He would make known this mystery of the glory of this mystery to you. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's what the focus of Bob's book is. And if we look, that should drive us, that we have Christ in us and we have hope of glory. You know, from the very beginning, God, He had a plan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, if I can quote that close, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And after you bruise his heel, he's going to bruise your head. Talking about that serpent, that from the garden, God had a plan. And he knew that man would sin. He knew that you would live a life of sin, and that you would need Him to bruised the head of that serpent, and he's done that for you. In Leviticus chapter 8, if we were to go back, and I encourage you to look at it, at Leviticus chapter 8, throughout those passages, and I used this at the Lord's Supper not too long ago, as we see the priests that were dedicated, you remember that story as you scan down through that passage and you look at Moses dedicating Aaron. And it says, he washed him, he washed his clothes, he washed his raiment, he bathed him. And they slew a bull, and they took the blood, and they sprinkled it on the altar and on the parts of the tabernacle. And he took that blood, and he touched it to Aaron's right ear, and to his right thumb, and on his right big toe. And then he did the same thing to his sons. He took them and he washed them and he sprinkled that blood on them and they became priests. Now that story is us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 23. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, this is you. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with water. Just like Aaron, just like his sons. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, most of you in the audience this evening, many of you have been baptized. You've been washed. You've had that blood applied to you. You have the hope of glory of Christ dwelling in you. You are a priest. You are a priest. Do you realize that? I think that escapes us. God, Bob makes through his entire book that we are striving for purity through cleanliness, or through cleansing, through that blood, through that washing, purity through cleansing, and holiness through harmony. Holiness through harmony. We've been studying in the Foundations class the United Kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. After Solomon built the temple, or as he was building the temple, it says that he made an alliance with Hiram, and that the wood that was donated to the cause and the mountains of Lebanon and all the timbers, and he got from him hewers of wood and hewers of stone, and all of these stones, and you've studied it before, of that massive temple. Some of those stones were as large as half of this stage up here. A single stone as large as half of this stage up here. How they moved them, I don't know. How they got them in place up on that hill that Jerusalem was built on, Mount Moriah, and built that place, I don't know. I can't imagine the effort of the 155,630 bondsmen that he incorporated to cut these things. But the point I wanted to make for you out of those stones is that all of them were cut somewhere way off. They were cut at some distance by these craftsmen, and when they cut them perfectly, every one to the right size and the right shape, so that when they were transported, God didn't want a hammer or a chisel, the sound of which, to be made in His house. That's how it was put together. Those stones were cut, and when they got to the place on Mount Moriah, they all dropped in a slot. They all fit into place, jointed perfectly together. And those stones, you are. You are crafted by the master stone cutter. You are those stones. And from those stones, you are part of the temple. And you were made with a purpose. You fit just perfectly. Did you think about that? Do you feel like that? That I have a place, I have a purpose, I have a function, and God made me for that purpose and for that function. And tonight, in this place, at this time, it's here. It's in your family, it's in your home, it's in your business, it's what you're doing, you were purposed for. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, Peter says, "To whom coming, as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye," that's you, "in your pew tonight, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You are those stones. You are the stone. You are part of the temple. In verse 9 and 10, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." You are. We are in this place. We are priests, and we are stones. We are sacrifices. You know, I used this story too in the Lord's Supper not too many months ago in Leviticus chapter 16, and I drew the analogy of when I was a child and went to the state or the county fair, and I was never a farmer, I was never a cattleman, but you, even from movies and from stories and from shows, you imagine that bull that was bred and it was grown and it was named and it was fed and it was cleaned. And it was perfect, and it had the bow on the cows have manes, you know, whatever, around there, and something on their tail, but I mean just perfect. Aaron sacrificed just such a bull for every family. Everybody submitted that. It was the perfect sacrifice. I mean, your prize was slit at the throat, bloodshed, cut into pieces. What a sacrifice. Take my car and destroy it, smash it, just give it away. That's what it was to those people. It was a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You sitting in this pew tonight, you being in this building, you living the life that you lived yesterday, the life that you lived last week, the life that you live tomorrow, you're to be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Romans chapter 6, 11 through 13. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You are priests. You are stones. You are sacrifices. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul told the church at Ephesus, he's telling you, it was not written to you, but it was written for you, to be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you doing that? Are you followers of God as good children? For the most part, only you can answer that question. But you know. You know whether you're doing that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Are you following His steps? Is it the life that you're living? Are you living up to your purpose? Are you doing what you know you're supposed to do? Bob tells the story, and I'm going to try to tell you now, and I like it. If I mess it up, you go read it. But some night, if this could happen, and you're roused from your deep sleep at 3:30 in the morning, you hear something and you get up, and you walk through your house, finding your way, no light. And you see light streaming from a room in the back of the house, and that's not right. So as you make your way to the light, you walk into the room and you see the glorified Christ standing there. Can you see that? Can you see Him standing there looking for you to come? And He says, I know you want to be my child. I know you want to be a follower of me as a good child. I know how difficult it is. I know what you're struggling with. I know what you just can't quite get to be what you know you ought to be. And I want to ask you, would it be okay if I just came into your body and just dwelt in you? And you say, that would be great. I mean, that would be wonderful. And so, He just steps in. You step out of your body and He steps in, and Christ is living in you. If that happened tonight, would people notice tomorrow? Would your family notice a difference in you? Would your schoolmates notice a difference in you? Same hair, same clothes, no tie. Everything's the same. It's Bernie, but they notice a difference in you. Would they notice a difference in you? You know they would. If Christ was living in you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. Is Christ living in you? There's some folks here this evening that have never named Him as their Savior and the Master of their life. And they've never been immersed. They've never been washed. The blood has never been applied. You're not a sacrifice yet. You're not a priest. But you know, just like that story, that's what happens. When you're immersed and when you come out, Christ is living in you. There are far too many of us that have done that, and we've been washed. We've been cut as stones, perfectly fitted, and we're not living up to our purpose, our utility, in our families, in our congregations. As the salt of the earth here on this world, we don't have Christ
living in us.
We're fixing to sing Trust and Obey. Lesson's over. Read that book. It's a lot better than I did with it. You can have the hope of glory. You can have the hope of glory in Christ living in you. It's not going to happen miraculously. It's not going to happen like that story tonight at 3:30 in the morning. But it can happen in the waters of baptism right there if you've never done it. It can happen through prayer and confession and repentance and changing, the decision to change tonight. You can have Christ living in you. You can change your behavior. You can apply that blood. You can remember the covenant relationship that you created when you were immersed. And you can have the hope of glory. If there's any way that we can help you this evening, you come forward and we'll do whatever we can. But if it's a sin of a personal nature and you just need to do right, then do it now. And if there's anyone that needs to obey the gospel in baptism, we would love to see you up here with us this evening. Would you consider those things as we stand and as we sing?